Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Just, you're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with your responsibilities, and it seems like you'll never get it all done? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but don't use all the time, and take advice and wisdom from one another. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to keep on being the well woman you are. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Before we get started, I want you to get out your calendar and mark October 26th for the Well Woman Superpower Retreat at beautiful Los Poblanos, featured in Vogue and the New York Times, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Plan to take a personal day, a professional development day, or even a little vacation if you need to travel in. This is not to be missed. You can find more information at wellwomanlife.com/events. Today's topic is energy and empowerment through self-expression. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to use self-expression as a tool. Reach out to family and community for support and energy. And remember that energy begets energy. The more you put out, the more you'll receive. My guest today is Eva Enseñas, founder of the National Flamenco Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and flamenco dance instructor at the University of New Mexico. Eva's family emigrated to the United States after the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s, bringing flamenco with them. She learned to dance within her own family and in her mother's dance academy, which is still one of the most reputable dance academies in the United States today. Eva began teaching at the university in 1976 and founded the institute in 1992. Today I speak with Eva about her journey to being a world-renowned flamenco instructor, who she turns to and what she does to remain dedicated and driven to her craft, and how self-expression can be a tool for personal growth and confidence. The free giveaway today is the 4 steps to leading a well woman life. I love this handout because it gives you 4 easy steps to immediately start living a more full and joyful life. Now to my interview with Eva Enseñas. And welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's so good to be here with you. I said a little bit in the introduction about you, a lot about you, and also about how I know you. And so it's just a real pleasure to have you on the show. Tell me, Eva, what are you working on right now, and how does it specifically impact women and maybe women's well-being?
Well, our most recent project that we are working on is our Tablao, which is a partnership with the owner of the Hotel Albuquerque. It's a flamenco club, basically. And this is something that, as much flamenco as we have here in Albuquerque, has always been a need, because it's such a resource for young developing artists to develop their craft. And so what this is going to do, I'm very excited for the dancers, the professional dancers that work with the Institute, because they will have an ongoing regular forum in which to be practicing their solo work. We have opportunities for them to work as a company in big choreographies and more larger production kind of ideas. But what a lot of our dancers don't get to develop as much as they would like to is their solo work. Mm. And in this particular kind of format, a tablao, that's exactly what that does, is it develops dancers as soloists. And so I'm very excited for these young women who have dedicated their lives to the study and research and development of this art form to finally have a format and a place where they can go, where they will be performing very regularly and developing themselves as an individual artist, not just as part of a bigger idea, a bigger company.
And now, tell us briefly about the history of the tablao. I mean, that is something that's not very common here in New Mexico, but obviously it is in Spain.
It is in Spain. The tablao is an offshoot of what they used to call the café cantantes, which were the first, that was the first type of venue that you would see flamenco in a public space. Before that time, flamenco was very private. It was done within the family home or very private venues where you had to be invited to be able to hear it or see it. And so the tablao, which before that was the café cantante, was the first opportunity for people to go. They were basically bars. Tavernas, where you could go and eat and drink, and there would be flamenco performers. And little by little, the performance started to get more and more focused upon and just grew artistically, so that then what was the café cantante then became the tablao, which was set up more to allow for more dance and more of a cuadro feel to it, a whole group of dancers, as opposed to maybe one singer and a guitarist, or one dancer, one singer and a guitarist. This opened it up to a slightly bigger ensemble, but not too big either. Usually a tablao is not more than 6-7 performers max.
Okay, and I know people come to your National Institute of Flamenco here from all over the country and all over the world. How have you developed this over the years? I mean, you've been doing it a long time. Has it been sort of a lifelong project of yours?
Well, it is, you know, and you know, when I look back to the early years when I was at the university, when I started at UNM, it was 1976. Been there a very long time. And that was really my first job that I had had as a formal teacher. Before that, I was teaching in my mother's studio, but I was very young but was under her tutelage. She was a fantastic teacher. And she would always tell me that I, even as a very young girl, that I had a propensity for teaching, that I would always pretend that I was leading a class and sort of when I was off in my own little world. And I believe that's true because I do indeed love to teach. But I was given the opportunity when I was a student in the dance program to start to teach flamenco at UNM. And I realized that this was a fascinating opportunity for me to really be able to develop my teaching skills to sort of a very specific demographic I didn't know it at that time, but as I've seen through the years, really allowed the art form to proliferate through the community in a really dynamic way. As you mentioned, you were my student at UNM several years ago. And flamenco is something that has a dramatic impact on a student. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't continue to study flamenco, it doesn't go away. It's in there somewhere. And they'll come to revisit it in some capacity. So I really feel that my years at the university has afforded me an access and an opportunity to proliferate the art form in a way that few people have. You know, not a lot of flamenco artists have that opportunity. So I have tried to steward that opportunity responsibly because I believe that flamenco is a very powerful form of expression. And I, for women, I think it's a really fantastic way for them to find their voice through movement. And it did that for me, for sure, and continues to do that. And I see a lot of young people, you know, we have a charter school now, and we have our school here, our private school, our conservatory, as well as the university. And I see how flamenco empowers young women. And it's really beautiful to see that happen. A lot of parents will bring their children to study in our children's classes here because their child seems to be very shy and withdrawn and not able to kind of break through into a more outgoing personality. And they, you know, I've been told that flamenco has really helped them in that capacity. So I think it's a really wonderful tool that I can use to help young people find their self-expression. And it's just beautiful. You know, I mean, I've done it all my life, and the excitement has never waned in watching the art form and teaching the art form and creating opportunities for people to experience it.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely echo that. I mean, the energy that you have when you're teaching and when you're performing is amazing.
Thank you.
And my daughter was in your baby class, and definitely, you know, I saw her do things I had never seen her do. So I can see what you're saying. I wanted to ask you, though, in terms of this idea that people find their voice through flamenco, and once they're touched by flamenco, they never forget it, even if they don't continue to dance or something. Why do you think that is? Why is there such a deep connection with flamenco music and dance?
I think that one of the things that it's always interesting to me, because when I produce a lot of concerts, so when the concert is on stage, I'll be in the audience watching people watch the concert. And it's always interesting to me because I see people of lots of different kinds of backgrounds, you know, from the construction worker to the dentist to the, you know, whoever, the educator to the philosopher. Everybody is spellbound by it. And they may not understand the language in which it's being sung, or may not know anything about what is going on the stage, which is a fascinating process, just sort of this nonverbal communication between the artists, which is fascinating, but that's another conversation. But I think because flamenco has a very overt, expressive performance, we don't, it's not the intent or the desire of the artist to make it look easy. We want to share the angst. It comes from a very politically charged, repressed people. And so they were telling stories of their repression and their difficult lives. And so very similar to the blues, for instance, or some forms of the African-American chants and rituals, ritualistic songs and work songs, it was about that. And so that sort of very dramatically overt performance, I think people can tie into. I think that they can feel.
They connect to it emotionally.
They can connect to it. They don't have to understand the language. They don't have to understand the culture. They know that someone is honestly expressing their emotion. And that's exciting for them.
And a lot of women, when they're dancing and singing, are very assertive. I mean, it's very emotional, and they're really asserting themselves and what they're saying. What is that about? Because I think way back in the day, you know, women didn't always assert themselves in the home or in the community. Yet when they get up, you know, dancing and playing music and singing, it's like they're, you know, they come out of themselves. Why is that?
Well, and I think that that has to do with the culture or cultures that have come together to create the art of flamenco, which is not strictly a Spanish form of music and dance. It really is the blending of many cultures, of the gypsy cultures that came across Europe from India, and mixing with the forms of music and dance that were already in Spain. And it took hundreds of years for flamenco to evolve into the expression of southern Spain, basically. But yes, indeed, the woman's role in flamenco is very, very aggressive, mm-hmm. and strong. And then you can see the man's role, who can also maybe have more of a level of expression that you might not see in other forms. Again, that very overt focus and intention in there, and the use of hands, and sort of a softness that comes about in the men, although they're very strong and masculine, and women are very feminine but yet powerful. Mm-hmm. And those lines of delineation between the male and female role, those sort of traditional lines of delineation, which you see in many art forms, isn't there in flamenco. There's much more of a balance between the two. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also a very healthy thing for young people, to young women and men, to be able to experience that sort of balance in the sexes in regard to their form of expression. Mm.
Okay, we can hear a little bit of the dancing in the background here.
I don't doubt it. The castanets.
The castanets and the I don't want to say stomping, but it's the
taconeo, the footwork.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, Eva, on a more personal level, because on the Well Woman Show, we do interview women who are at the top of their game in their field and sort of look at the what's going on behind the scenes. Like, how is it that you are able to continue a pretty much full-time teaching career, build a national institute, international really, and put on all of these festivals, and then now start this new tablao? I mean, it's a lot, right? So you're juggling a lot. And can you describe a time in your life when you weren't putting yourself first and you were putting everything else first, and maybe you weren't taking care of yourself the way you probably now know you need to? When I first got here, you had just come from hot yoga. So you're clearly doing things to take care of yourself, but can you describe in a time of in your life when you maybe weren't doing that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been doing this for a very long time, from the time that I was teaching in my mother's studio to present day. A lot has happened in developing our flamenco efforts here in Albuquerque, starting from the university program into the festival. The festival came out of that, and then later the institute was created, and we've started all these various programs. I have been very, very fortunate to work with my children. Both of them are beautiful flamenco dancers, and they have really stepped up and are right alongside me in making all of these projects happen. There is no way that I solely could have done this. And so between my children and now my grandchildren are starting to come into the process, we have a fantastic staff of people that work very, very hard to make all of these initiatives work. And it's a lot of work. And we're, you know, it's a nonprofit. People have to be very multifaceted and be willing to go the extra mile to make it work. And everybody is doing that. Have there been times in my life when these things were completely out of balance? For sure. But I, because I have this family unit that helped me so much to make these things a reality, everybody takes their part. Mm-hmm. For instance, my daughter really directs the festival anymore. She runs the festival. Mm-hmm. My son runs the charter school. He's really all about that. Now, I am certainly work as an advisor. I work, they ask me, we're very much involved in creating the curriculum and knowing how we're going to program the festival and just a lot of discussion and meetings. But they're really careful to make sure that the work is distributed. And we have to make sure that that happens, because there are those times when you don't take care of yourself and you start to feel it. And then I go to hot yoga.
Great. Yeah. Well, what about when you were raising the kids? Because they weren't always able to help with all of this. And you were, you know, a mom and developing your career.
Absolutely.
How did you balance all of that?
Well, they came with me. I mean, that was a time when I was very young when I had my children, and I wanted to be dancing. You know, I was a dancer, and I wanted to develop myself as a dancer, and I was in class a lot, and I was in rehearsals a lot, and they, you know, I would schlep them along with me, and they would be, you know, they'd have their little play area and their toys, and I'd be right there in the studio doing my ballet bar or flamenco class or whatever it is that I was needing to do. And they were really, they grew up in the studio, mm-hmm. and they grew up in the theater. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Not everybody has that opportunity,
yeah.
and that flexibility in their work. But as a parent, as an undergraduate student, the faculty was really supportive of, and they were very well behaved, and the faculty was very supportive about me having my children there if they weren't going to be distracting to the class. But there were things that,
yeah.
they were there with me instead of being out on the playground.
Yeah.
And so that would wear on me sometimes. I wanted them to have more of, I guess, what I thought was a normal childhood. But then when they had that option, really they wanted to be more in my world. So that worked out well for me. It wasn't until later, when they got into middle school and high school, that they started to separate themselves a little bit more and go into that other world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think being away from flamenco for a while made them realize that they really wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
And so they ended up coming back. I'm not sure that I answered your question.
No, that's good. I just wanted to follow up with a question about, you know, in order to do everything that you've done and remain so focused, what has guided you? You mentioned your mom earlier, and she was clearly a big influence. What do you think your guiding, you know, sort of principles are in terms of your family and your business and your life?
Well, I'm very spiritually driven. I'm, you know, I have a very deep belief in God, and that has been, that's my anchor. You know, I mean, I there are those times when I feel that there's, the balance is starting to shift and things are not quite right in the Institute or in the UNM program or whatever, you know, I'll start to feel like some order has to come into place. And I just ask for divine guidance, because through prayer. I just need to make sure that my motives are right, that that I'm not compromising the integrity of the organization or the integrity of the people who are working with us to take advantage of an opportunity. And it's very difficult to know those things. And I seek divine guidance in that capacity. I pray regularly, every day. And I pray for our efforts, and I ask the Lord to help me know when my life is not where it needs to be and I need to find a different focus and balance.
And do you listen to the answers?
I try to.
It's hard.
I think so. It's
sometimes
hard.
You hear
it's
it
hard because you want to, you know what you want to hear. And then, so then I go back to my Bible, and that's my, that's the reference to, for me, I am a devout believer in Christ, and that's where I find my power, mm-hmm. and that's where I find my solace and, sort of that backup that directs me and that compass that directs my efforts to know, should I open that door or should I not open that door? And if I do, then what? Yeah.
Okay, and Eva, we're going into the segment that's called Superpowers for Success. And this is a chance for my guests to share their tips and insights with listeners who are really out there, you know, doing their best in their own field and making improvements in their lives and maybe starting a new business or, you know, juggling their own family and work issues. So let me ask you, we're going to do a quick few questions here with the few minutes that we have left. And so the first question is, what does success in life mean for you?
I measure success by the abilities and the focus of my students. I feel that if my students are finding a holistic experience that is engaging them and enhancing their lives, then I'm doing my job well. So I read it from my students.
Okay, and when did you know in your mind and in your heart, in that quiet place, when did you know that you were really good at what you do?
That's an interesting question. I think it was after I had studied. I was probably 20 years into my career.
And how did you come to realize it?
I would say I was, you know, you got to consider that I started, I was probably 20 years into my career, but 20 years into my study of the mm-hmm. art form. I'd say that I was 25, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I started to realize that I had an inherent potential that I was starting to realize, that I could feel that I was realizing.
And what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Energy. And my mother, always thank her because she taught me the power of energy mm-hmm. and how you could manifest and just, you know, energy begets energy, that kind of thing, that the more energy you put out, the more energy you get. And I saw her practice that every day. And it's stayed with me.
And is love energy?
Or for sure, for sure. Love manufactures that energy.
Because I feel like you put out so much love. So you get it back.
Well, and I love what I do. I love the art form, and I love sharing it with people because it's just, you feel when they're receiving it, that deep respect, even in small children, that they know that they're entering into a ritual that is very important, and they don't know why, but they know that there's something there that's very important. And so it's fun, that journey, walking with them through that journey is just fantastic.
And last question, what advice would you give your 25 or 30-year-old self?
Be patient. Yeah, I've always been someone who wants change to happen now, you know, and now I'm 63 years old and know better. I know better, but there's still a side of me that wants it to happen so fast. Mm-hmm. But I've learned to embrace the journey. So even though I would like change to happen quicker, I know that slow change is going to be more stable and more reliable, but it doesn't make me want to, you know, I still want to push, you know, that it's just, and so I think that had I been able to know that when I was 25, I maybe would have embraced it a little bit sooner. But it's part of who I am, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't change it because maybe you wouldn't have
Maybe we wouldn't have accomplished what we've done had I been more reticent to accept, you know, that things don't turn around tomorrow. So there's still a lot of things that I'm trying to turn around and there's a lot of sacrifices that are made by myself and my family. I don't say that to be some sort of to be an artist is very difficult. It's very difficult in our culture. But it's okay because the journey is great.
Eva, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Eva Enseñas, founder of the National Flamenco Institute and flamenco dance instructor at the University of New Mexico. I spoke with Eva about her personal journey to success in dance, finding strength and sustained dedication to her craft, and using self-expression as a means to confidence and success. You can get the free giveaway today, which outlines 4 steps to leading a well woman life, at wellwomanlife.com/028show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings together women to share our successes and challenges as leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes. And while you're there, leave a review. This helps raise visibility for the show, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week for you. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/wellwomanlifecommunity. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.